Welcome, welcome to everyone who is here today on the new Black Friday. I am so glad to be sharing part of this day with you. And before we get started officially, just wanting to, for those of you who may not know me, my name is Sherry Reichert-Ballou. My company is Simply Celebrate, and I help people to celebrate and appreciate themselves and the people that you love. And one of my favorite ways to do that, as many of you know, is through creating one-of-a-kind creative gifts that really express our love and that let people know the impact they've had on us. And so today, we are going to be making a love list live. In a minute, I'm going to be bringing on my two dear friends from the Creativity Caravan who are going to help us really come up with a knock-their-socks-off kind of list. They're so great at being really creative. And so if you don't yet have any paper or pen, make sure this will be the time to make sure that you do that and that you have in mind someone that you want to make this special gift for. And so just a quick explanation, you know, a love list is one of the most simple things in the world. It is really a list of all the things we love about someone. And it's something that I just happened to, the idea just dropped in for me about 30-some years ago when my mom was turning 50. And I decided I was going to make her a list of 50 reasons I loved her. And it was really so much fun to make, and she loved it. And since then, I've been making them all the time. And there's, as you'll find out later, there's all kinds of different ways to present them. There's all kinds of different things that can prompt us on how to write our list. And so on this call today, I've invited Maya and Amy from the Creativity Caravan because they're going to help us really come up with a very creative list of things while we're live on the call. So I'm about ready to introduce them. Just to remind you again, have someone in mind who you want to create the gift for. Anytime during the call, if you have a question, just press *6 and you'll be prompted to press 1. And then I'll see that you're raising your hand and could call on you. You know, it's very informal. So, you know, feel free at any time during the call if you have something that you want to ask or share, please do so. So without further ado, Maya and Amy Tingle and Maya Stein are co-founders of the Creativity Caravan, which is a studio, gallery, and imaginarium located in northern New Jersey. And their mission is to spark, engage, and nourish creativity in communities everywhere. And those of you who have been following along with Simply Celebrate for any length of time know, because I've talked about Maya and Amy so many times, because they are always, always bringing just amazing things into the world. They do these projects of tandem poetry. They travel across the country bringing creativity to communities. And I will say more about them on the link with the replay of this call, because I really want to just bring them on right now. And let me unmute you guys. Oops. Sorry about that, whoever I just unmuted. Where are you? Is that you, Amy and Maya?
It is. Hi, Sherry.
Hi, Sherry. Yay. Hello, hello. It's always like magic when it all works, right? Like, here you are. Thanks, you guys, for being here.
Well, thanks for having us. We always love talking to you. So that's, you never have to twist our arms about that.
But it's an especially good way to spend Black Friday.
Oh, I know. And you guys have joined me before, and it's been so wonderful and so successful for people. And so I'm just really happy to have you back. And today we're going to try our best to keep this call to an hour. It's going to be hard because I just love talking to you guys, and there's always so many creative ideas. But I thought we would start with you guys maybe just giving us a quick minute or two on, you know, the basics of the show don't tell aspect of writing.
Okay, so this is Maya, and maybe we'll trade off a little bit here. But so show don't tell is really about not saying what's there so much as what's not there. You know, in a way, it's like it's easy to talk about the physical environment or the landscape, or to talk about sort of the specifics of a, you know, for example, like in a love list, to talk about the specifics of a memory or something. But the telling, or so, that would be telling. I'm telling you a detail. I'm telling you, you know, I'm describing something in very literal ways.
Mm-hmm.
And the show part is when I reveal sort of the impact of those things without saying this is how I feel or this is what happened, but by sort of demonstrating, and it's kind of a complex thing because it's very hard to do with writing, but I think it happens when we're upset about something and we cry, you know, for example, you know, or we get hurt, cry. So there's a response that we have that we don't necessarily, we can't say.
Well, it's like you're showing someone that you're sad by crying, but you're not sitting there saying, I'm so sad right now. Does that make sense? So, yeah, so you've shown them by shedding tears. You don't have to tell them how you feel because it's obvious. They're looking at you and tears are running down your face or you're sobbing or, you know, so you don't need to tell someone how you're feeling in that situation. And I think in terms of writing, it can progress a scene. I mean, I think about it probably as much with fiction as with anything else, but where you're trying to progress a scene and it's so boring to say, you know, I was really sad that day in 1984, but by describing a scene, by describing everything that you're seeing and smelling and tasting and feeling, you evoke the mood of sadness.
Oh,
you don't need to
Amy,
say it's not sad or I'm so sad. The mood becomes evoked by the.
It's very tricky with writing, I think, because we don't trust our narrator, our readers, perhaps. Like we want to be a trustworthy narrator, so we want to tell everything to give an accurate picture of what something is. We want to make sure the reader gets it and understands, and you know we're not confusing them in any way. So our tendency is to over-describe and over-articulate. And what showing is really about is leaving the space for the reader to enter. So you know, you tell enough, and then you trust the reader to understand and to align themselves with what you're describing. And so, go ahead.
Oh, no, I love this. And what I was just about to say, and then you can please finish up what you were going to say, but what I was going to say is we're going to almost launch right into, you know, you guys are sort of explaining this, which is great, and we're going to be using a lot of this in all of the prompts, which is why I wanted you to start with this.
Right, right. Yeah, so I think this is really about trusting your message and trusting the receiver of that message. So trusting your writing and your expression enough that you can leave a little bit of room and space for someone else to enter and meet you there.
That's so beautiful. Yeah. Thank you. I love that. And again, just so, you know, people who are on the line, we're going to be actually walking you through this, which is why I'm so happy to have Amy and Maya here, because, a couple things. One is I happen to pull out, both of them have written me love lists in the past. And so I'll be sharing some of the really creative things that you both have written to me. But also, and just to get started on a very first prompt, one of the ways I thought it'd be really fun to start is that I had asked both Maya and Amy something that they each had, a way that they had shown each other their love. And so, Amy, if it's okay, I'm going to start prompt number one with you. Is that all right? You there? Yeah. So I don't know if you remember this, probably you do though, but when I asked you one of the ways that Maya had expressed love, do you remember what you said?
Yeah, I said that she once told me that I looked like summer, or I reminded her of summer.
Yes. And that's so, I think that's so exactly what you two were just saying, right? That it's like, she could have said, gosh, I don't even know how that would have been in a more generic form, but we all know, like, we all know what summer feels like. And by using a metaphor, right, she spoke volumes in that.
Right.
And maybe you could say right, a little bit more.
Well, all the things that that evokes, right? I mean, it's like the feel, the way the sun feels on your skin, the way, you know, the sounds around you, maybe like the ocean or a sprinkler or popsicles or, you know, to me, that's all those things that that summer kind of brings up. So it's obviously a very favorable metaphor, for, you know, for how she feels about me or you know. I think it brings up all those like lovely thoughts about summer.
Yeah. And so just for people, this is your first prompt. So as you're thinking about the person that you're making this love list for, is there a metaphor like that? You know, are they like the smell of the ocean when you're on vacation? You know, are they like skiing, you know, on your favorite ski slopes? I mean, whatever, we're gonna talk for another minute while you're all writing your first one. But think in terms of metaphor that way. And Amy and Maya, if you want to say anything else while people are writing about that, about metaphor, that'd be great.
Well, I think it's about thinking of the sensation of the relationship, you know, like, and it's hard to get at a metaphor, you know. I think it's, you know, because we're sort of too attached to what it means. Like, even when you say, you remind me of, you know, you remind me of the smell of the ocean. Well, someone might say, well, does that mean I smell like the ocean? Or
does that mean I smell like rotten seaweed? I'm salty.
So it's just, again, this is, I kind of want to reiterate this point of, you know, trusting your instincts about what the sensation that you're feeling is. So, you know, it's just thinking about a feeling that you get when you're around that person, and what is that sensation about? What does that connect you to?
Yeah, I think that's so true. You have to trust that the person will know what you mean too. So, like, I could say, oh, you know, Maya, you feel like winter to me. Well, for some people that means like icy cold, don't want to go outside, frostbitten fingertips, frozen, you know. But I might be thinking about, you know, a cozy fireside with hot cocoa and big giant marshmallows and a big dog that I'm leaning on. And, you know, I have to trust that Maya would know that she would have a memory, you know, that we would have a memory together of that winter, that particular winter scene. So it's also about thinking about the person you're writing it for and knowing what you share with each other, and that you're both going to be reminded of the same thing.
Well, right. And couldn't people even say, right, like, I mean, we could go further than, you know, you're like winter to me, but we could actually give some of those details to place them in the setting.
Yeah. You could say, you know, you make me feel like when I think of you, I remember, you know, coming in from the cold. It makes me feel like coming in from the cold. So that's winter, but but what's the action associated with the feeling? That's another, those, you know, show, don't tell. Like, coming in from the cold is not a literal description of a relationship, but it describes the feeling. So what is, you know, when you're thinking about the love list, like, you know, you make me feel like I've just had a big glass of sweet lemonade.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Know, whatever, you know, whatever it is, like that.
Yeah, I love this. And I'm hoping that people, you know, that this is sparking something for you in terms of the person that you're with. And one of the things that I really love, because whenever I've had conversations with you two about this, what really ends up happening is really that the love list is pointing to a relationship. And I think that that's why they make such an amazing gift. They're so personal. It's just something between the two of you. And that's
right.
What I love so much about it.
Well, yeah, and it's a real departure from how we talk to each other. So, it, you know, I think when we're writing them, we have to kind of forgive ourselves for being a little clumsy or feeling a little bit uncomfortable about what it's asking us to do or what we're trying to do, because we're doing something outside of the normal kind of dialogue we're going to have with someone on an, you know, in an everyday way. So it's the, and I think that it's very disarming, you know, in all the best ways too. It disarms the person who receives it, and they're like, wow, I didn't realize that I created that feeling in you. But that's really what, you know, we have to kind of think about the purpose of the communication. And the purpose of the communication is to is to sort of celebrate a feeling. So
yeah,
we can be,
yeah,
you know, it's hard. In our culture we don't do this very often. So it's good to kind of, it's good, definitely good to practice, but it might take a couple of revisions.
Well, yeah, that's it. And I'm glad you said that, because we're going to move on to the second prompt just so that we can make sure that we get you 10 really creative prompts. But, you know, just jot down something, and you can, like you said, Maya, you could go back and revise it after the call. But that's great. And so, Maya, I'm gonna turn it over to you and ask you the same question, because when I asked about someone expressing love and showing love, you had a really specific story that I loved.
Well, the story I had, which was about Amy, was about a moment early on in our relationship where she brought me a glass of water. She went in to get, you know, herself a drink of water, and she brought me back a glass too, without asking if I was thirsty or without, you know, without any prompting. And I, so the gesture of, well, what it made me think of was, this is a person who wants me to, not just wants me to stay hydrated, but is not selfish. This person wants to, it said something about her generosity, which was very small. I mean, when I mentioned it to her later, it was like no big deal. No big deal for her to get water without being asked. But the quiet power of that gesture to me as the recipient was what mattered. So that struck me. That's always been a sort of signature moment, you know, that I can kind of look back on and say, oh, that's when I knew the kind of person that Amy is.
Wow. And I love, you know, so again, if people are thinking about the person they're making a love list for right now, something that is seemingly small or seemingly insignificant that this person does or has done, but that, like that glass of water, it opens up a door to a whole room of love, right? Or a whole, like you said, Maya, it told you so much about Amy. And I think what I love so much, I love that story, because it's a glass of water. And I had a similar thing yesterday. My boyfriend Ian and I were fixing breakfast, and he was cutting up the tomatoes. And I hate that gooey stuff, like in the middle of the tomatoes, whatever that is. And I noticed he was, well, that and the stuff that's like jelly. I don't like all that. But anyways, he was scooping it out. And like, he likes it. He did, but he wanted to do that for me. And it was like the same, like a similar thing. It was just so small, and yet it meant the world to me, because it showed a certain level of paying attention.
Mm-hmm. Right. And remembering enough. And it's almost like it's become part of his DNA probably now, like in terms of your relationship DNA is now sealed because of that moment, you know, one in many like that.
Exactly. Yeah. And so if people are thinking, you know, what are those, like, really, you know, something that maybe someone from the outside wouldn't even see the love, but that you notice it in this person.
Yeah. I have a funny opposite story, which is, it just kind of, highlights again that somebody knows you and pays attention, and what Maya said, that thinks about it, you know, that remembers.
Yeah, yeah.
I cannot stand the smell of lilies. I just, as a flower, I don't like that smell at all. It kind of physically nauseates me. And there's a few people in my life who, if they send me flowers, they always remember not to ask for lilies because it's a filler, right? A lot of florists will use them.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Most people really like them. I mean, it's a good filler for a reason. But if you know me really well, you know that I don't like that smell. And so you'll specifically ask a florist to take the lilies out of an arrangement. And then, you know, there's people who don't think about it, you know, and forget, and they send me flowers, and I'm like, lilies, like, and then I have to pull them out, and there's like half a bouquet left, and it's sad. So it's little things like that. They're not a big deal, and it's no, you know, and I don't like ever complain or tell the people who forget, but I think about it. Like, it's nice when people remember that I really don't like them and ask for something else.
Yeah, I get that. And so, you guys, if you were putting this item on, the lily item on the love list, how would it sound?
I guess I'd probably say, like, I love that you always remember
to leave the lilies out.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't require any other explanation. It's just,
you know,
again, it's something between us, but it really shows that you love me.
That's it. That's great. Yeah, so I hope that folks are thinking along those lines. We're going to move on to the next prompt. But, again, just so you know, if you have any questions while we're going or you're stuck, you know, feel free to press *6, and we can always help you out with something along the way. So our next prompt is something that I thought about, because when I was looking at that very first list I made for my mom all those years ago, it was very sweet. I love that I made it. But at the time, the things that I was writing were so much more general. So one of the things that I wrote on her list was, you know, you're open-minded. And, you know, although that's a really sweet thing to say, it doesn't really speak to what we're talking about on this call in the way of being very specific. And so I was thinking, like, today I might say something like, you know, I love that you accepted your children's dreadlocks and their extreme politics and unconventional relationships with humor and love. You know, I would sort of give those specific details. And so maybe, Maya, you could talk a little bit more about this, like some of those, like we might be wanting to put on a list, oh, you're so easygoing or you're so smart.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, ways to really think about making those more creative.
Well, it's funny because I just, when you were talking, I wrote down two words. I wrote down what and how. So when you were describing, I love that you're open-minded, that's the what. But when the second version that you said is, well, how are you open-minded? So when you're thinking about the love list, you can be very direct and say, you know, I love your sense of humor, or I love your style. But the how is, you know, I love that you can, you know, I love how you can make anyone in a room laugh in 5 minutes. Or I love how you don't mind wearing your, you know, your beret, you know, in church, or, you know, whatever. I love how, not I love what. And
that might be an
easier way in for some of these things.
I am so glad you said that, because it makes it so clear and easy when we're doing these. I'm writing this down as you're talking in big letters. Yeah, what and how.
Yeah, because that also speaks to the reason that we're writing in the first place. You know, we're writing because we want to show an appreciation for someone. And, you know, it's often hard to kind of harness all the reasons or all the moments or, you know, but the how is something that might be easier to, you know, because the how, it does, I mean, that also really speaks to the sort of showing, not the telling.
Yep. It does.
So that relates to that piece. Like, what is it about someone's, you know, quality that you love? What is, like, how is that person expressing that quality for you?
Yeah. And so for people, as you're making your love list, we're actually going to use the same prompt. So kind of keep thinking And that's going to be prompt 3 and 4. And I'm going to give examples for prompt 4 that's very closely aligned to all this. And so keep thinking of your person. And here's a way that Amy did this for me on a love list she made me. So one of the things she said is, I love that you always burst into tears so readily, so heartily, the way you sob when you're sad, or even better, when you're happy. I aspire to wear my heart on my sleeve as well as you do. And when I read this today, I was thinking, she could have said, I love that you show your feelings. But that would not have gotten quite to the same heart of this. And Amy, do you want to speak a little bit about this as people are doing their fourth prompt?
Yeah, I think that's exactly it, though. I mean, you just got to the heart of it yourself. But it's really the idea that I wanted to say something about the way you emote, but I didn't want to just say, yeah, I love the way you emote, Sherry, or, you know, I love the way your feelings are so close to the surface, or, you know, I mean, I just wanted a detail. So I wanted to think about it a little bit further and dig a little deeper into what I really meant when I said that. I think that's it, like the intention behind our words. So yeah, you're right. I could have just said, I love that you wear your heart on your sleeve. But what do I mean? You know, and how have I seen you do that? Where have I seen you do that? What does that look like?
Well, I want to say too that in that writing that she did, she also mentioned what she's learning from it. So it's like when she said, I aspire to, I don't know where, I forgot what the actual was, but something about I aspire to do the same, you know. And I think when we're like, the reason that maybe we appreciate someone is because they're doing something really well that maybe we're trying to do a better job of. So what is that thing that someone is doing really well that we're learning from?
Thanks for pointing that out, Maya, because that actually, that did add a little twist to this particular love list item. And that's so great, yeah, to speak to, because I think that really shows the impact that someone's having on our lives.
Right.
Yeah. So again, so this is our fourth prompt. We're taking things that are kind of generic and making them more specific with what Maya said, bringing it in that how they do it. And then I like, because I think Amy even said, and where, you know, where do I see that? Because that could be another way that it sort of, we could bring that in, you know, when someone does that.
Yeah,
so
again,
we're going,
a specific detail, a time and place that you saw it in action.
Yeah. Oh, I like that. Writing that down. Time and place you saw it in action. Because what that does too, and I noticed this, like, so when I read that love list item, again, it felt specific to me more so than if you had said, you know, I love that you show your feelings. Because that's sort of like a lot of people do that, but you kind of made it a lot more specific. And I think that's what also connects us more deeply to one another. Because it's like one of those, like, just us, you know, I feel so seen. And I think that's a lot of so much what I hope for people when they're giving and receiving love lists, is that people feel seen and known and loved for who they are. So we're gonna keep on going, because I'm wanting to be really respectful of people's time. And again, if you're having trouble or you want to toss out an idea to us, feel free to press *6. So our next prompt, and this is something that you always do together that only the two of you share. So you're thinking of this person and you're thinking of something that's kind of really special to just you two. So what I thought of for this example, and because I'm on the call with Maya and Amy, one of my favorite things to do with Maya and Amy is road trips. I, even just saying it makes me so happy. I've loved all the time I've been in the car with you guys. But I'm wondering, you guys, so I might say, I love our road trip, but how would you, you know, how would you make that more creative?
I got to take this one. I love that you are up for our shenanigans and that you enjoy when we use our roadside attractions app to stop at things like the world's largest watering can. That you don't get annoyed by all our little side trips that we take that make a trip way longer than it needs to be, but way more fun.
That's great. Like, so, like I could say I love the way you love detours as much as I do.
Oh, that's great too. They're both so. This I love that you both said those because they're so different,
mm-hmm.
but each. They're each so perfect in their own way.
Yes. Yeah. And I would, if we're talking about road trips, I mean, I would say I love that you love detours as much as I do, but I also would say I love that you make friends with a gas station attendant, or I love that you make friends with, you know, the waitress at the restaurant that we stop to eat in, that you make friends with people, you make friends of strangers. And it happens on, there's a magic to it that happens on road trips because it becomes part of our collective memory of that trip. We'll say, remember that amazing, you remember that song that waitress sang to us because you asked her to, you know, to sing her favorite lullaby or, you know, like.
Yeah, yeah.
You create, I mean, that's a very long-winded way of saying, you help me create the memories I have through our trips together.
Wow, I love this because what you guys just did again, so that if someone, like, I'm thinking in general, like, oh, this is something, you know, my mom and I always sit out on the porch and have coffee or, you know, thinking of something that I always do. But what you two did was you went to specifics, moments, like it's talking about road trips, but you're talking about like a couple specific moments that actually really brings out, again, like the why of it, the why it's so amazing.
Right. And the essence of it, it's kind of like when you smell coffee in a room, like, you know the coffee, even if you don't see it. So it's like,
yes,
you know what I mean? So just by saying, I love that, you know, I love that we went to see the world's biggest watering can, that you are someone I shared that memory with. And that says, that's like the smell of coffee in the room, because what it says is that's really about our collective and mutual sense of adventure and our love of, you know, whimsy and, you know, it speaks to the larger landscape that you're in.
Yes. Oh, that's great. That's great. And I hope this is sparking things for people as you're making your list that, and again, we're going to move forward, but just make a couple notes for yourself if you're not done so you can go back and finish it up later. We're on to prompt number 6, and this is one of my favorite ways. When I'm making a love list, one of the things that I do is I like to go through photographs of the person. You know, I'll look for photos with the person that I'm making the list for, and it will sort of spark different memories or thoughts. And so I'm putting you guys kind of on the spot, but I told you I was going to do this. So do you happen to, are there any photos around you right now that you could just, like, look at and share a little bit about how to use this prompt?
Yes.
Yay!
We did get a tip-off that this is going to happen. So we do have a photo that we were looking at, which is actually of the two of us. We were actually sending a message to a friend for a birthday, and I believe I am wearing a chimpanzee mask,
no.
And... Oh, Maya's wearing a chimpanzee mask and a butterfly, like with a butterfly eye mask, and I am wearing a unicorn mask. And we're looking at each other in the picture. And it's just, like, it's so classic. It's such a classic photo of us. It's not, you know, it's something that, it's not an everyday occurrence, but it is, clearly we have those masks, so we do put them on once in a while, but... it's just kind of, I don't know, it just speaks volumes about who we are and how we are in relationship to each other, and that we both think it's hilarious, that we would both even be willing to look that ridiculous in a photograph.
I will say, too, that so we were doing a video message for someone who was turning 40, and we don't actually know her that well. She's the stepdaughter of a good friend of ours, and so we were asked to do this video message for her birthday, and I think that in a very maybe sort of indirect way, we were...
we were saying, be willing
yeah,
to be ridiculous.
We were sort of saying, like, don't forget, you can be ridiculous, you know, or here's, I don't know. I mean, I think, I look at that photo and I think of all the sort of, it reminds me of whimsy and it reminds me of adventure and it reminds me of, and not just with Amy, but with people that I want to share that with, you know. And that's kind of a way of caring. It's like a way of carrying a part of us with us everywhere we go. And so it's, and maybe the people that we come in contact, the ones that we really spend time with or feel close to, those people elevate that part in us, celebrate that part in us, remind us, are sort of our reminders and our compasses for staying true to that part of who we are.
So Maya, if you were making a love list for Amy and you looked at that photo as a way to prompt something, what would you say?
Well, it's funny because I was thinking about one of the places that we wore those two very same masks was in the middle of a desert in Arizona. And we had found this, it was actually a roadside attraction. It was called the Lost Shoe Fence or something. It's literally in the middle of nowhere. And so we ended up sort of finding the fence and posing with it. And we had the masks with us in the car. And so.
And of course, there was a random old couch somebody had discarded. Happened to be sitting near the fence. So we sat on the couch and had those masks on, and it was just one of those hilarious moments.
It was completely random. I think what I would say to answer your question is, like, you remind me that, you know, in the desert of sameness, I can be a monkey.
I can't believe you just thought that up on the spot. That is brilliant. Oh, that's so gay. Oh, I love it. Yes. And I mean, I think that again, I'm glad you happen to have that photo out. This is perfect. But yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, and I would say something like, you know, I love that you remind me to stay childlike and to play and to laugh at myself and have fun and not, you know, and not worry about what other people think.
Yeah. So when folks are looking at photographs of the people that they're making the love list for, to, again, kind of like what you guys were saying earlier about the essence, the smell of coffee in the room, you're looking at that photo, it's really a stepping into that moment and feeling the essence of it and trying to capture that as a love list
right.
item.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Speaking of like a holiday photo with the horrible holiday sweaters that, you know, people used to wear. And like, what if somebody picked that photo and their brother or their cousin or whatever, whoever it was they're writing their list to, they might say, I love that you never made fun of me for wearing that horrible sweater.
right.
You know.
Right. And, you know,
but
this
just
is
like,
a good
yeah,
time.
What's in the picture? Yeah. What's in the picture and what's not in the picture?
Yes. Oh, I love that. What's not in the picture, too. And I just wanted to remind people that, you know, there's all kinds of ways to present love lists, and one of them is to include photographs. And so, you know, some of these classic photos that you're finding can be really wonderful to include with the love list. That is great. So we're going to move on to number 7. And so this one, I actually, it's great because this one is to look around your home and see if there's something that that person gave you that you really treasure, something that you have that just right away connects you to them. And it's funny because actually right now in my studio, I have a diorama that Maya made that I love, that it's one of the first things I look at every morning when I come into my studio. And I also happen to have sitting on my desk a book that Amy published on how to make collages. And that book reminds me of to bring creativity into everyday life because of everything that that meant for her. But so when you're looking around, you know, is there something, like even right now, is there something in your house that you really treasure from that person? And on Amy's love list to me, here's something she said. She said, "I love how our silverware compartment in our kitchen drawer is filled with the paper parasols you give us. And sometimes I go into the basement to clean the detritus left by the teenage boys, and I find them, pink, blue, yellow, orange, poking out of the tops of juice boxes." And it's so, how do you say that, detritus? Is that how you say that word?
Detritus.
It's so, again, it's not like, oh, I love that you carry around paper parasols, which would be fun, right, and very specific. But the specifics of the kitchen drawer and the basement, it's just, for me, that I was just tickled when I read that. And so if you want to, you know, as people are thinking or looking around their homes, yeah, you guys want to say anything about that?
I was just going to say there's one thing that I have. It's on my bedside table, but Maya gave it to me a long time ago. And I don't remember why she gave it to me. I don't remember the specifics, but it's a book, and it weirdly looks like it's a blank book, and it weirdly looks like those crackers, those bright orange crackers with peanut butter in them that you used to get like at a convenience store, like eat on a road trip. I think they're still around, but they're almost like quilted looking. I don't know why, but she gave me this little book, and she called it Our Cheese and Crackers. And she would write in it when I wasn't paying attention, like either I was out somewhere or I was in another room. She would write a little note and leave it for me to find inside the book. So I would just have to look every once in a while, and I would forget, and then I would notice that she had written 2 or 3 times. Just little things like about our day or that she loved about me or and it was just a way that we kind of kept in touch even though we were, you know, in the same house. But it was just this sweet, surprising little thing. And it's full now, but it's just, I don't know, it's just something that was so wonderful. I loved, you know, coming across it and realizing that she had added to it when I wasn't looking.
Oh, Amy, I love that. And so if you were going to put that on the love list to Maya, what do you think you would write?
Well, if I was going to try to be funny, I would say something like, I love that I'll never go hungry because I'll always have our cheese and crackers.
Wow, that was good.
That was good.
You know, and again, thinking of hunger as a metaphor, you know, something that fills me up.
Sorry, Amy. Yeah, exactly. The metaphor of it. And I was just going to ask Maya, would you get that right away if you read that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, just because, you know, the cheese and crackers, yeah, I would totally get that right away. Yeah, you know, this is kind of about surprise and delight also, like thinking about the surprising and delightful ways that we love somebody or feel loved by them. And so, yeah, instead of, you know, I love, you know, you could say I love you, but, or, you know, I love that you love me, but it's, but honing in on this object that really is the vehicle for where that love is expressed or how that love is expressed.
Oh, that's so beautifully said. honing in on the object that is the vehicle for how the love is expressed.
I'm looking behind me. There's a an orange bicycle pin that that I was given by a friend, my friend Celeste, about 5 years ago. When I was heading out to a very big bike ride that I was doing. And, and it's like a little, it's bright. It's a bright orange pen, but otherwise it was probably it's one of those things that you could find in your drunk drawer probably after a few years in your kitchen, or you'd be like, well, I don't know what to do with this. But I have it, it's actually in a little box that I've been creating of sort of these objects, like little plastic animals and some random stuff, but it's in there, and I've glued it in, and it reminds me not just of the trip I took, but it reminds me that she it reminds me of her giddiness, the shared giddiness she felt about that adventure I was going on, and that, you know, if I were writing her a love list, I would say, you know, I still carry the orange bicycle pin because, or what, you know, I love that you shared my excitement over a bicycle ride.
Yeah, I love that. And see, and it's great because I love that you're actually demonstrating in the moment by just looking around your room, you know, mm-hmm. and your eyes alight on the bicycle pin. And, you know, just as an aside, you know, we could all do this anytime. Like, you could send Celeste a text after this call, you know, saying exactly just that, right? It doesn't have to be a whole list. It doesn't have to be a formal gift. It could be just a wonderful way to express our love just in the way that you just did.
Yeah, I mean, if you're wanting to sort of turn this into a more frequent practice, it doesn't have to be a list. It can be a thing that you've just run across in your everyday, and just taking the time to note, like, wow, that makes me think of how I felt about something, and, you know, who gave you that thing, or who was there when you had it, or, you know, why, how did it come into your possession, and so. This is a great reminder, like, it's all around us. You can celebrate someone, and you can celebrate your connection with that person.
Yeah.
In a very, very, you know, very simple way.
Yes. I'm so glad that came up, because that, to me, it's two things. I mean, one is it's expressing that appreciation to the person and that love, and it's such a beautiful surprise to receive. And like you just said, it's a practice. It's a way to practice the skill of, you know, expressing our love. And so, mm-hmm. yeah. All right, in the interest of time, I'm going to move on to prompt 8. And actually, for this one, I just pulled something off of a list that you made me, Maya. And it's a very simple one, and I'm just thinking maybe you could just speak to it as a prompt. So you wrote, "I love that I can spot you in an airport a mile away." And
that's
what I love about it is, again, it's one of those things that it's like, you and I know what it means. I don't know if anybody else would know what it means, but I think that there was something so wonderful about it. And can you give us a prompt, or can you talk to this as a prompt?
Well, so, I mean, what that meant to me was, when I wrote it, was you make a celebration out of everything. And especially in my mind, like, arrivals, you know, the idea of someone coming, of seeing someone for the first time in a while, or you make a celebration out of those moments of reconnection, especially, that last a long time. And so, like, but it's like, yeah, you don't take, like, you don't even take an airport arrival with a grain of salt. Like, you decide it's going to be a moment. You know, I'm making a moment out of it. So, I'm just trying to think of something. Like, let's say somebody, you really appreciated someone's sense of style. And so, like, you could say, like, you know, even in the doctor's waiting room, like, you make a rainbow, or it's like something.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Like,
I do.
So, I mean, again, this is sort of about showing or about metaphors or kind of like thinking about the setting where that person really stands out for you.
Yeah. A setting where that person really stands out. So it could be a similar thing. It could be the way that someone greets you, you know, which is something to think about, or how someone leaves you, or like you're saying, someplace, the doctor's office, which is kind of an unusual, how is someone in a doctor's, like any of those things.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Can you think of anything, Amy?
I was just trying to think of another example other than like coming or going, but I mean, actually, when you said doctor's office, I was just thinking about our friend Jen, who actually works at a doctor's office. She works for a chiropractor, and I happen to go to that chiropractor, but she's so good at putting patients at ease, and, you know, nobody likes to go to the doctor, and nobody necessarily likes to sit in the waiting room or whatever, but she's so great with the patients, and it's everybody who walks in the door. It's not me because I'm her friend. You know, every person who comes in, she treats with such kindness and patience and, you know, understanding of the fact that, and it's nothing that she specifically says, like, oh, I know it's really hard to be here today or whatever. It's just the way she is, this, like, sort of enthusiasm and graciousness and kindness about her. And I think that's a really lovely quality. So if I was writing a list for her, I might say something like that about how she treats the people who are in her presence, you know, everybody, you know, and putting everybody at ease, or I don't know, just being that sort of like sense of peace and light in a situation that maybe isn't so.
I suspect that for a lot of us, you know, the person that we're writing to or thinking about when we're approaching a love list is like really how that person does stand out. I mean, that they could be something else because that's what everybody else is. Or there's nothing extraordinary demanded of them necessarily in a given situation. But they're making themselves extraordinary in it. You know, even if they don't know it, it's like you at the airport. You know, you'll bring something to the airport to make it really fun, but it's like you don't necessarily think of that as like I'm going to make this. It's like it becomes
exactly
part of who you are, and that's the beauty of what people offer to you in their relationship to you, is they're not doing it out of obligation or pressure or guilt or anything. It's like you're acknowledging that part of them that feels extraordinary in an ordinary life, they're making something extraordinary for you.
That is so beautiful. And I think that will really help, I hope, because it certainly helps clarify for me. So on this prompt, you know, that's another way to look at it. Aside from a setting, it can also be like, yeah, what's an ordinary sort of, like you said, in an ordinary life, how does this person make it extraordinary? Like, I'm thinking of my friend Lisa, who whenever she sets the table when I'm there, she has these really beautiful, fun dishes, and she always has these, like, fun napkins. It's just who she is, but it makes it feel so special.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We better move on. I just realized we're getting close to the top of the hour, but that one, there seems like there could be like a lot of different things could come from that prompt. So the next one, number 9, we've just got 2 left. this was, again, something Maya said to me, which was, I love how the words hummus and lavash can make us crack up for hours, which is obviously an inside joke. And that's part of what makes it so great, almost like the cheese and crackers that you guys talked about. So with that, I just thought maybe one or both of you, if you wanted to talk about, you know, that angle of inside joke.
Well, it's good because we have a new one.
Oh!
Because I'm like, I'm thinking, I don't even remember the hummus and lavash thing.
I do.
You do?
Yeah.
That's funny. I don't remember that one anymore, but we have a new one because we're obsessed right now with the Great British Bake Off or Bake Show.
Which
is on Netflix. It's like this British baking show, and they bake pastries and pies, and it's a reality show, so they bake off every week. They have three challenges, and then somebody gets
booted off.
And we just love watching it, and mostly because the people are so nice. Like, it's a competition, but everyone's so nice to each other, and of course, because they're making these incredible desserts, and both of us like desserts, but Maya's gotten really into it, and she's now baking at home a lot, so we walk around the kitchen talking to each other in British accents and sort of mimicking the way they are on the show, like, it's such a great bake today. You did? Oh, it's delicious. Fantastic. You know, like, I'll be fake critiquing her, you know, whatever she's made. But, again, it's just a dumb thing. Like, nobody else would really get it, but it's really funny to us. And
I'll tell you something that happened recently, too, with my stepson, and it was just a really funny moment, and it's kind of like now it's living in the archives or the, you know, that now it's part of our relationship DNA, I think. So recently we were talking about sounds that drive us crazy. So the sound, the sound of things, and where I don't remember how that conversation came up, but so I was talking about something, a sound, like, I hate the sound of other people vacuuming. And I said, Charlie, like, what do you hate the sound of? And he said, well, do you know every single day that we sit down to dinner and the first bite you take, you say, good. And he goes, I just want to wring your neck. I was like, God, that is so crazy. It's such an innocuous thing. But, you know, over time, it's become really grating to him. And so, I mean, luckily we were in a setting where it was funny. Like, he wasn't wringing my neck. He was telling me that he wanted to wring my neck. But we were laughing about it. And now, like, I've, like, really been mindful of not saying it too much. But now I can say it as a joke.
Yes.
And now we have this word between us that sort of also signifies the trust, really, that we have established between us over time, that he can say this kind of thing to me, that he hates when I say that, and I can laugh about it, and we can joke about it. So if I wrote a love list to him, I might just make one of the numbers, like, good. I might just say that.
Oh, yes. Oh, I love that. I love so much, too, that it's like, because I can imagine a list of things, and some might be long, and some might be a sentence, and then you'd have just that, good.
Right.
And it would just,
right.
I could see him just cracking up, right, if he read it. Like, that's,
yeah.
Say,
yeah, like,
say
he'll
no
never
more.
Forget.
Right. And what I love, too, because I'm going to, we're at the top of the hour, but the last one kind of fits in with what you're just saying, which is, you know, one of the things that people often put on these love lists is, I love your sense of humor. And, you know, I was going to ask you guys to speak to that a bit more, and you kind of already just sort of naturally did that. But if you want to say a few more words about that, because I think a lot of people say that, I love your sense of humor.
Right. So maybe a way to think about it is giving shorthand. So you could say, I love your sense of humor, or you can actually say one of the hilarious things that you remember, like even the punchline of a joke that you remember, or, you know, like, or a fragment of the moment, of a moment that, where that person's sense of humor really shone, you know, like, was memorable. So it's like, what's the shorthand version of that? You know, what's the quickest, like, this is like the shortest distance between two points, you know, like
what can I say
that would just immediately transport you into that moment, which would express, I love your sense of humor.
And it's also funny, which is the other thing, right? So like when you say, good, and that's all you put,
right,
that in itself is really funny. And so you're actually taking someone to that place of that connection.
Yeah.
Why it's so brilliant. Whereas if you say, I love your sense of humor, it's not actually taking them there.
Yeah, and then we're back to show, don't tell.
Yep, yep.
If you know, that's sort of full circle. Like, if I could tell you that, but what would really show you? What would really show you what I mean? And how?
Yeah, I love that you said shorthand, because I think that's also like that's a good thing to think, you know, for any of the prompts.
Yeah, absolutely. I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is not about floral romantic language, or it doesn't have to be like that. It's not about being literary or complicated. You know, it's like, it's really telling something simply and honestly and truthfully.
And also what I'm getting by both of your examples, and I hope other people are hearing this too, it's also about being truly ourselves. Like showing up as who we are on the page, so that, you know, what we're giving is a part of ourselves. We're giving, as we keep saying, this is about relationship. And you too, I think, have pointed that out in a lot of your examples, that it's like you're using your specific sense of humor or the way that you are to connect with the other person.
Yeah, I mean, the love list is at its core a communication between you and someone else. It's not a grocery list, you know. It's not a to-do list. It's not a spreadsheet. It's like it's a communication. So it's about you and the person who you're giving it to. And so, you know, it's really equipoised between those two people. So it's as much about how you say and who you are when you're saying it and the way you are naturally inclined to say something, as it is about the what that you're communicating.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, that's so great.
Like, it's important to remember yes, it is about the person receiving and they're going to feel a certain way about it, but it's also about the giving and the, you know, the percent, it's really a 50-50 thing.
Yes.
So,
yes, which I love, yes, because, I mean, you guys know this, you've heard me say this so many times, but to me, like, the secret sauce of creating the love list is just the amount of joy and connection we feel while we're doing it, that it's a practice for ourselves, and what you two have brought that adds a whole nother layer to it is also, it's a creativity practice, it's a writing practice,
yeah. Absolutely. And I think it's a particular way of drilling down into the subject, which is the other person or your relationship, like what Maya said, you're giving something to yourself as well. And I think if it's just a rote thing where you're just, you know, listing off 10 things without really thinking about it, then you're not getting the fullness and the richness of that gift for both of you.
Yes, yes. And I feel so grateful to you too, because I feel like you've given us examples, and you've also, you know, sort of done some teaching, you know, some real hands-on teaching here that I know for me, every time I talk to you guys, I learn something new. And I really appreciate that. Like, I've been taking notes like crazy during this call, and I'll use it, you know, because it's really fun. It makes it more fun. And I know that we've gone a little bit over, and I apologize. I know you guys said you could stay till 11:15 Pacific time. And so I just wanted to say one more time to anybody listening, if you did want to *6, if you wanted to ask something or you got stuck on one of the prompts, you know, feel free. We've got about 8 more minutes. And I also just wanted to say that I'm going to be posting links to where people can connect with you guys and with the Creativity Caravan. But just to give people the link right now, the website is thecreativitycaravan.com. Again, that's thecreativitycaravan.com. And that's how you can connect with Amy and Maya. And they're always doing, I mean, you guys have that, you know, the actual, you know, studio there, but you're also always doing lots of things online and lots of things that people can participate in. So I really want people to connect with you. And I also wanted to just say that, you know, there are so many ways to present the love list. You know, I have free printables on my website that you can just, you know, print out, fill out, and give to somebody, and that makes an amazing gift. But you can also create joy jars. You can put them in fortune cookies. You can do an advent calendar. There's just, you know, unlimited ways to present them. And, of course, on my website, I have all kinds of different suggestions for that. And anything else that you guys want to say, Maya and Amy, while we're closing things out?
Well, I was thinking about how, you know, sometimes maybe the person that might need a love list more than anyone is someone that we have a hard time with. That we appreciate in our lives, but, you know, they really present some difficulty or conflict, or, you know, like we have an edge that we meet when we're thinking of them or around them. And I just, you know, I don't have any, like, I'm not sure what to say about that other than it might be really an interesting exercise to pick someone in your life who you struggle with and maybe to think about in what ways they've connected you to yourself or to connected you to something, or, you know, what is there something in that struggle or in that conflict that has been useful to you? And, you know, that's not necessarily a list that you would send to them or something, but it's more like that's part of maybe the practice of a love list, is looking at the people in our lives who maybe are not the easiest people to love or celebrate, but nevertheless call forth something in us that feels really important and instructive.
Wow. I am so glad you said that, Maya. That's amazing. And it's true. Like, we could make that list and not send it. Another sort of angle on that, I remember doing this. I've been, you know, kind of estranged from my father most of my life because he sort of left our family when I was quite young. And it was an amazing experience when I created a love list for him, and I did send it. But to actually turn my attention to all of the things that I actually learned from him, you know, even in his absence. But, you know, and anyway, it really, I think, shifted a lot of things for me when I did that.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a really difficult and brave thing to do. And it's also it's like a heart expander. You know, you realize
mm-hmm.
You're capable of appreciation for people that maybe it would be very easy not to appreciate.
Oh, yes, exactly. Yeah. And I have another story of someone had me help her once. I did a loveless coaching call with someone who was really having a difficult time with her teenage son. And it was beautiful that she had this sort of intuition to create a loveless for him, but she really needed some help. And it was great. We just got on the phone for half an hour. And it was so beautiful to walk through that process with her because she was feeling very distant from him and, you know, a certain amount of anger at some things that had happened. And to see what came out of that for her, you know, and she did end up giving him the list. She wasn't sure she was going to, but the transformation for her was so amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a beautiful, I'm so glad you said that. That could be a beautiful challenge for people.
Thanks.
Amy, was there anything else that you wanted to say before we go?
Just thank you for having us and for, I mean, it's always a great reminder for me too, just to think about the love list that I may write in the next, you know, couple of weeks, or that I have, you know, sort of maybe have been under the surface, but I haven't really expressed myself to those people in that kind of a way. So it's a great reminder to be here and not be at the mall.
Hallelujah. Yeah, you know, yeah. I can't tell you guys, you know, I actually got out. I have this, like, party hat that somebody had given me that I, like, put on today before because I was like, I am so happy to be able to spend this time with you two. I mean, I love you guys so much, and I love everything you teach and that you stand for. And it felt just so wonderful to be, like, to have you be a part of this, you know, new Black Friday party with me. It's such gratitude to you and gratitude to everybody on the call today. Thank you for showing up. And, you know, I'm hoping some of you will hop on the Facebook page and share your experiences of the call or email me or connect with Maya and Amy just to keep the conversation going. So thank you, Maya and Amy and everyone.
You.
All right.
Next year I'm wearing a party hat.
Okay. Okay, awesome. I love it. I was just going to say, I'll see you guys back here next year, I hope.
Okay. Better see you
all right.
Before.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Yeah. Definitely. All right. Take good care. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.